Good afternoon, good afternoon, and welcome everyone. Welcome to you and you and you and you. It's Monday, marvelous Monday, as I would call it. And I know some of you are expecting, maybe in about an hour and a half or so, the nail-biting, exciting probably for some persons. Yeah, it's budget day, guys. And welcome, if you're not joining us, it's Freedom 106.5 FM. You know what today is, you know what time it is. It's all about the lunchtime doctor. Oh yeah, we do this every Monday to Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. It's the most loved doctor on the airwaves, and she is here. Dr. Sophia Muhammad is ready to provide answers for all your medical questions. Broadcasting live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sky 99.5 FM. Get in touch with your lunchtime doctor during the show. Of course, you can call us at 627-3223 or 625-2257. You can also send your questions to our WhatsApp, 306-1065. That's my WhatsApp. We taking voice notes, everything. You know how we do it here. Hey, wait. But I forget to introduce myself. But it carry me. Of course, Lunchtime Doctor is sponsored by Superfarm, your prescription of trust, and Cetaphil, the number one doctor recommended sensitive skincare brand. And help me introduce the most beautiful, the most awesome, Dr. Sophia Muhammad.
Good afternoon, Carrie. The person with the most beautiful smile and laughter. You know, Carrie, laughter is one of your best medicines.
It is. I heard so, you know.
And especially on a day like today where stress and anxiety are through the roof.
Yeah.
I've already had so many different conversations this morning with persons feeling really anxious, persons not knowing what to anticipate, and actually a lot of overthinking. So here's the thing. We are a resilient nation. We've gone through the most debilitating pandemic. So we know how to cope. But now more than ever, we need to pay that attention to our fiscal health, because our financial management affects our stress levels.
It does. It does.
This month of October is also designated Breast Cancer Awareness. And while all my sisters out there know every day is a day to take care of your health, more than ever, let's pay attention to our breast health and to our male.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I know a friend of mine, he has breast cancer, you know.
That's right. While it's 1%, yes, there is such a thing as male breast cancer.
Yeah.
So we're going to discuss those topics in this particular Lunchtime Doctor. We invite you, share your calls and concerns. Let me know what's on your lunchtime plate. And let me know if you are taking heed to the advice. What health habits are you incorporating to optimize your health today? Carrie's going to give you those numbers again.
Of course. And I already see what some messages coming in, but you can get into the action. Get to ask Dr. Sophia Muhammad any medical question that you have. You can contact us at 306-1065. That's my WhatsApp number. You can even call me at 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's jump straight into Hi, good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I used the teramycin for an eye infection. The tube is still practically full. Can I use it for anything else? Because, I mean, $60 going down the drain.
I understand that. Now, that particular medication, that ointment, is applicable just for inflammatory eye conditions. We wouldn't want you to apply something to another body part, even though there is antibiotic cream within it. But here's what I'll tell you. That cream is still useful for a good 6 months. What to do? Store it operate safely, not in an environment that's overly heated, in a cool environment. So that would be if you have a medicine cabinet or in a closet somewhere, not somewhere that will be overheated, because that ointment in particular, it can change form. So it can become very liquidated in the heat, terramycin in particular. So you can have it, you can utilize it for the next 6 months when you are indeed you applying it to your eyes. Here's something I want everyone to be careful of, not just for this ointment, for any medication to your eyes. Please, let's make sure we wash our hands properly. Many times we pick up the medication, we apply it to our eye. Here's another thing to do. In applying from one eye to the other, go back and rewash your hands. Because you can now transfer bacteria from one eye to the other eye if both eyes, if one eye has the infection versus the other. We must, the mucosa that's the skin lining at the eyes are very thin, and easily things can go into the capillaries as your blood system. So let's make sure the same hygiene that we had during COVID, we continue those practices.
Wow. Thank you so much, doctor. Guys, don't forget you can call me 627-3223 or 625-2257. This is a lunchtime, doctor. We're getting a call. After we take this call, then I would read the other message. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hi, good afternoon, Carrie. Hey. Good afternoon, doctor.
Dr. Sophia Mohammed.
Well, Dr. Elsa, I was doing a 4-mile up, not only doing 4 miles uphill and all these things like that. So while I'm finishing it up, I noticed that I started getting pain, just a sharp pain on the side of my kneecap, on the side. And that's about a month and something. It's not really affecting me to the extent, but you know, I still have the pain there at times. Sometimes it'll be a little, you know what I mean, a little kind of tense. So what I was using, but I really didn't use anything to talk about it, but I don't know what to use, right, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just take a pain tablet or so. Now and then I might take one, but the pain's still there.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what I could use really to, you know, alleviate that pain or kind of ease the pain or so. So I'll listen off it. And the other thing is I noticed that it's have an eye infection going around right now. A lot of people having an eye problem. So I don't know if there's anything that, you know, I know you will have an idea about it, so if there's any, could think the public to be aware of what they could do. I was listening to you a while ago, so probably I was aware. You're aware of it.
Definitely.
Anyway, Dr. Day program, be super program. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Trincity. We didn't see you when we had the Super Farm program at Trincity, but I know the voice. You're very correct. While as school has reopened, there's again that resurgence of a number of cough and cold, respiratory infections, even things that are easily contagious like eye infections. That's why we emphasized proper hand hygiene. And of course, if anyone is having what we say weepy eyes, that the eyes are tearing up very quickly, a red eye, one eye may be red versus both eyes being red. All of that easily is indeed a viral infection. So let's make sure we pay attention. Let's make sure we pay attention to our eye health. Now, answering that specific question about the kneecap pain, open disclaimer, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. That's a whole different specialty. But we have seen patients with chronic pain and, of course, those initial lingering pains of the joints. So let's address that. And here's what Trinidadians do, and I'm hearing it in your voice, and I want us to not do this. We have pain, and it might be pretty intense, but we're still saying it's a small pain. So I would say, first, evaluate on a scale of 1 to 10. How much is it? 2, 3, 4, 5. Anything over 4 and 5, you know you need medical attention right away. 6, 7, 8, immediately. Any level of pain mean there's an inflammatory reaction in the body. So we need to put some level of treatment. Treatment is not always medical. Treatment can be the ice pack. Treatment can be even warm packs. In this case, because it's an acute pain, you want to put warm packs to it. Why warm packs? Because you want to bring the healing neurochemicals of the body to the area. That warm pack will also help settle any swelling and that pain. Just before, say, the start of your day, you can do the cold packs. And the cold pack will help give that strengthening so you can manage through the day. Mm. Here's another thing you need to do. Besides from the warm or the cold packs, most importantly is you need to be able to have some level of exercise or movement at that joint. So we would do, if you were to come into the office, I would do a mobility assessment. I'll ask you to walk, I'll ask you to squat, I'll ask to see if you can even jump and what level of exercise initiates pain, because then we know if physiotherapy is necessary or not. The thing about damage to any joint, be it the ankle, the knee, the elbow, the wrist, is that it will persist if we don't treat it right away. Mm. What do we mean by treating it right away? You said you did some pain relief, but I didn't hear if you did an x-ray. It may not have bony involvement, but it may have musculoskeletal involvement that we can rule out once we do that x-ray. So some of the medications you will then need is an NSAID, your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications. You may need a musculoskeletal relaxant. A muscle relaxant that will help ease some of the pain. Mm. But definitely the warm and cold packs and of course the physiotherapy, if that pain persists, please get it checked out. Mm. You know how many people I know that are still having knee pain from some injury or the other, and it now worsens their lifestyle. Wow. They become more sedentary. So you get yourself in a vicious cycle. Mm. And that's what we want to avoid.
Wow.
Treat it right away.
Nice. And guys, don't forget, this is the Lunchtime Doctor. And of course, we're broadcasting live here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and the Sky 99.5 FM. Get in touch with your Lunchtime Doctor and you can call us 627-3223-625-2257. We are even taking WhatsApp messages and voice notes as well at 306-1065. Hello, good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed and Carrie V. I am a 32-year-old paraplegic. Mm-hmm. I have been paralyzed from my neck down since 2011 due to a spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've had a sacral ulcer. No, not good with the doctor terms,
okay.
Huh? It is small, pink, and healthy, and everything, but every time it seems to be getting smaller, it just opens back up.
Yeah.
I'm unable to turn to release pressure because I usually get shortness of breath on my side, and I'm very uncomfortable on a Ripple mattress, which, in my opinion, does not help the situation. Okay. My mother does a dry dressing every other day. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate if you could give me any advice on how to move forward, what medication or ointments that could be used to aid the healing process. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for messaging in. We feel that pain, being going from normal, moving, walking about, and now being paraplegic is something that would take a lot of adjustments. Mm. I want to make sure that you also are taking the time to do little things while you're on the bed. If it's journaling, if it's praying, listening to motivational YouTubes, just so that you keep your emotional health in a balanced state. But let's address this sacral ulcer. I'm glad you have the support of your loved ones, because unfortunately, being in that paraplegic, you will need to do that movement on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the Ripple mattress, that is what is recommended for anyone that unfortunately doesn't have as much mobility as before. What the Ripple mattress does is that it doesn't allow any one area to cause compression directly to a point, be it your heel, the elbows. Where, yes, it might be a little uncomfortable because of the ripples. However, that helps tremendously in allowing proper circulation.
Mm.
Now, let's talk specifically about the sacral ulcer. I understand when you say that it is every time you get to the point of healing, then unfortunately it may reopen. What is necessary, and you did say there is a little bit of shortness of breath on the movement, but the area needs to be able to get that time to heal. if you're able to be on your side, then you're allowing the sacral ulcer. So to those who are listening, a sacral ulcer is at the lowest point on the back, that last bone there, what we say, the sitting bone, the Cossack bone, that's where the ulcer is located. Oh. So if one is lying down on the back, then there's that friction and it can worsen the ulcer healing process. So we need you to be on the side, left or right, but I understand that takes the turning. It may take a little more energy on your part, or not just your mom, probably another loved one, if there is someone there to just help you turn. But not putting the pressure on the back will give the ulcer the time to heal. Let's talk about things that can help. I'm sure with the dressing, she may be applying some sort of antibiotic ointment or a powder that will also help it heal. There are also creams, topical creams, that does have the different connective tissue, collagen, glucosamines that can also help it heal. All of these things, I'm sure you may not be able to go to the health center, but if she presents at the health center, the wound clinic, most of your health centers have a wound clinic, they'll be able to give that guidance. I really wish I could personally come and do that assessment, because when I hear about paraplegics, when I hear about anyone who is disabled, my heart completely goes out, because their level of health concerns are insurmountable. But I want to just continue to reassure you, you sound like you have that support. Continue to manage your emotional health and continue to pay attention to all these different changes that may happen on the skin.
Thank you so much, doctor. Let's take this call. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, Trinity here. I don't take up too much time, doctor. Thing is, from a scale from 1 to 10, the pain could just be about a 2 or less than 2.
Okay.
I could jog on it, but not as how fast I would have been doing it.
Yeah.
And I could walk on it normal, no pain really to say.
Right.
So often I might just say a little thing.
Good. Thanks, Olana.
Thank you so much.
Okay, but if that pain recurs or if it becomes a little more intense, please do yourself that favor and get it checked out. Okay?
Yes. Don't forget, guys, you can call us 627-3223 or 625-2257. This is the lunchtime, doctor. Send me a WhatsApp message as well. Now, I'm going to read this WhatsApp message first, doc, and then I'll take this other call. Hi, good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. I have a pacemaker. Can I take a purge? Because I am constipated and I am also 76 years old.
So yes, you certainly can take a purge. I'm not a fan of those purge medications and different things that are out there, but I'm certainly a fan of good health. So here's what we can do that will give you that purge. Proper nutrition, foods with high fiber, a little bit of greens, some oats, all of that will add the fiber. And of course, we don't want to clog up the system. So let's make sure you're well hydrated. Food and proper food and nutrition will not affect the system of the heart.
All right. Thank you so much, doctor. Let's take this call. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Just calling to find out, getting red spots around my arms, around my stomach, back area. I have to say, not above the knee, all the red spots are right there. It's coming and going, coming and going. It's coming like morning time, evening time, nothing. I don't know if it's like the heat. I need to ask that question because it's a big concern to me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. And I'll have you know, you're not the only person.
Yes, not the only person.
That sent in that particular concern. Here's what we did see during this heat wave. One, especially to our female patients, depending on what the hormonal levels are, where you may be at the period, where you may be close to perimenopause or not, there are different hormonal changes in the body. In addition to stress changes, that all of that come together becomes like the perfect storm, and it manifests in our skin. So the heat wave, yes, that would have caused this raise of these small little, as they say, heat rash. But But what I want you to pay attention to is if it's in areas of irritation. So if it may be resting onto a table, if it may be resting onto a surface, so there's that friction. If there's a friction, then that will agitate or aggravate the skin. One, here's what you're going to do from today, right now. Let's make sure you're well hydrated. Two, let's make sure the skin is properly moisturized. Because even this weekend, the doctor was schooled by a dermatologist. I went to do a facial and I was told that I was using the wrong moisturizer. Oh. That I'm in the AC all the time. Mm-hmm. Then, yes, I had to be in the AC all the time for this heat wave. That I was drying out my skin. Oh. So when the skin is becoming too dry, then it reacts in different ways. So that could also be a reason for these spots. Here's what I suggest. In addition to the hydration, let's make sure we get you a proper topical moisturizer. One that has, and here's a key word you're looking for, ceramides. Ceramides. So just turn it to the back. The same way we tell you all to turn to the back and looking at your nutrition facts of food. Do that same for your skincare products. The ceramides are now going to go into your skin layer and give you a better hydration. That skin, these moisturizers are now going to be like a protective barrier. So even if you're resting the hand someplace, even if you're sitting, you won't have that friction. All of that, and of course, let's pay attention if any of those little red bumps becomes inflamed, agitated. I call them angry. If you're noticing that, that's your red flag to go see a healthcare physician. Mm. It could be a GP, it could be the dermatologist. But let's not ignore if it becomes worse. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Hi, good afternoon. Doc, I did a surgery last year, December, a hysterectomy. Since after the surgery, whenever I stoop down low, I will have problems to get back up. My knees will get really, really stiff. And I will need help getting back up. What can I do? Because I am 51 years old. Thank you.
So just like we mentioned earlier on, you see, any sort of post-surgical process, one may have become a little sedentary. It may be difficult to move around, and the knees become problematic. What do we mean by that? While this may not sound to the best, unfortunately, even if there's pain in the knee, we need to still exercise it and work through a little bit of the pain to return you to a level of mobility. Because in resisting the movements, you're going to allow those knees to return to not just being stiff, but they now won't have the level of mobility and exercise fluidity to move around. So here's what I suggest. Even today, if there are steps in your home, just walk up and down the steps, adding two more layers. So if you're checking, say there's 20 steps, do it to say 5 times, so you check about 100 steps. Go slowly, just get a few movements in. Afterwards, you can sit down, relax, get your water in. Try it again tomorrow morning. Just go slow, step by step, and you will literally see in about a week time, you will see those changes in your body. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much, Doc. Guys, don't forget, this is the Lunchtime Doctor if you're now joining us, and we are going live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, and of course, Sky 99.5 FM. You can call us to ask your medical questions to Dr. Sophia Mohammed. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon. All right,
Let's chat a little bit about what's in our Health Plus tomorrow. Now, this entire month we mentioned is breast cancer awareness. Every day is a day for us to be aware. But this particular month, we want every one of you all to do more than just paying attention and reading the information. We want you all to act upon it. Unfortunately, we still have persons being diagnosed with breast cancer in the later stages. But here's the thing, diagnosis of breast cancer is no longer a death sentence. If it's picked up in the early stages, we can have better prognosis. On Sunday in our Women's Guardian, we interviewed someone who was at age 30. Wow. And unfortunately presented with breast cancer. However, she has been cancer free for the past 5 years. Wow. So to all of us, let's make sure, take a sister along, go get that mammogram, go get that ultrasound, get screened. Mm. In your Health Plus tomorrow, we talk about all those risk factors and we deep dived into the link between breast cancer and heart attacks. Mm. All that and more in your Guardian Health Plus tomorrow.
Nice. Let's take this call. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon, Ivy.
Hey, what's up?
Of course, two of my favorite radio personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. You know, even though I'm feeling not too well, mm-hmm. which you know, praise the Lord, I don't, hearing Carrie V takes away all the...
Oh,
Carrie, you're making all
the so on.
Aww.
And Doc, of course, you're a revelation on this program, you know. You make things so easy for us to understand. But my little question today,
mm-hmm.
You know, when we were growing up as children, the parents, they will insist at the before school reopens that we take these laxatives like the Buell tablets, the Broclax, mm. the Senna, and so on. Nowadays, you know, there has been like less use of those things. And is that beneficial to us? Should, you know, we still continue to give at least our children once, you know, every term? A clean out, as they say.
So my grandmother used to call it the purge out.
The purge out before school. Oh, gosh, I got one of that.
I think we all did. But while it is not medically recommended, here's what is recommended. Not just before we go back to school. Let's look into the why that happened. During the summertime, the children may have all sorts of different types of foods, unhealthy foods. They may have done the sedentary lifestyle. Mm. So there's that build of toxic products. And that's why they recommend this purge out. However, why do we need to punctuate our lives with a purge out mm. when every day we can have correct health habits?
Yeah.
What do I do with my young son? Every weekend, we do some encouraging physical activity.
Mm.
So yes, right now he and I are making sure we can do Bamboo Cathedral,
mm-hmm.
and that's just about 12,000 steps.
Mm.
So we mightn't get all the steps in during the week,
yeah.
but we're getting it on the weekend.
Nice.
So let's do that with our children. While we are getting our health optimized,
yeah.
let's get those health practices.
Yeah.
Let's make sure they're well hydrated. Proper nutrition, good solid hydration will equate a good purge out.
Yes.
Honestly.
Doctor, every Monday to Wednesday, you come and you speak about hydration and you keep telling us and letting us know, hey, y'all need to hydrate. And as we were talking about children, I have another question here. Hi, doctor. Good afternoon. I have a 10-year-old that started her period, but that was only one time. Mm-hmm. It came. Can you give me an insight as to what may have happened?
Yeah, that's perfectly normal. Thank you so much for letting us know. First and foremost, let me reassure you that's normal. Within the first year of when the cycle presents, it tends to be irregular. It may come every 3 months. It may come every 8 weeks. It may come 15 weeks until it actually normalizes to the every 4 to 5 weeks.
Mm.
So within the first presentation, just like in the perimenopausal time, it takes a year for the period to settle down. Similarly, when the cycle is presenting, it will take a year before it regulates. So I won't be worried. Here's when I'll be worried. If there is what we call spotting, so if one day or 2 days you may see some blood, then 3 weeks pass and you're seeing some blood, 2 weeks pass and you're seeing blood.
Mm.
So it's not just you're seeing the blood, but you're seeing the blood in an irregular time frame. That's when I'll become concerned. But now is also a good time to not just taking her to a healthcare professional, but taking her to a gynecologist. It's a good time to start developing those relationships and building her health knowledge.
Thank you so much. Guys, don't forget you can continue sending me those messages via WhatsApp 306-1065. Someone here is asking again for your private practice, but I know you mentioned that
yes.
last week.
That's okay. Believe me, all of our callers, all of our listeners, the minute we restart that, you will know. Right now, we're still dealing with backlog of corporate patients and, of course, just balancing some of the other roles. Carrie, I took up another role over this weekend.
What?
You well busy.
Right. I'll take a little pause here and share on it. Mm-hmm. So I want to congratulate all of the Rotarians in Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh.
Over this weekend, I joined the San Fernando South group, mm-hmm. who celebrated their 40th anniversary.
Oh,
and
nice.
We do know Rotarians are volunteers. They believe in service. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Mohammed is now an official Rotarian.
Woo!
I took up that role, mm-hmm. to be able to help at-risk communities,
nice.
To be able to reach out in more ways through different collaborative efforts, because I understand the amount of persons who need help out there.
Yes.
So yes, a big hello to all of our Rotarians and congratulations on all your efforts.
Congratulations to you, Doctor. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, afternoon.
Well, I'll be hearing about the program and thing. I'll say I'll call in and ask.
Nice.
I'll be experiencing something, some scratches between my leg and a little hurting in my hand and thing. I don't know where it is. I would like to find out where it is, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in and thank you for staying tuned to the program. So anytime your skin is itchy, that pruritus, it means there's first and foremost dryness of the skin. One, we want to moisturize it. It may be a bacterial infection, so it may need some sort of topical medication. It may be a fungal infection. Let's make sure that it isn't an area that accumulates sweat, because sweat will also irritate the skin and cause that pruritus. Now, when it comes to the hands, hands can be pained for a number of reasons. Say if one is at the desk and resting the hands in a not proper, so the poor ergonomic way, you're going to put compression on the nerves at the wrist, and that can cause pain. So it really depends on what your job is, if there's occupational damage, if there was a previous trauma. But if the pain, and here's what I want all of our listeners to take note of, if that pain is on your left hand, anytime you're feeling numbness, tingling on your left hand, and that pain may be on the left side as well, please, that's a sign of chest pain. Get that checked out.
Mm.
So, last thing I would say is if there is any sort of numbness, tingling, wherever you're experiencing the pain, let's make sure that it isn't the early signs of a stroke. Because sometimes it may just be not being able to move the hand, and that's the early sign. So if you're experiencing that again, please get it checked out.
Mm. Nice. Good afternoon, doctor. Great job educating. What causes the urine to be gray?
So let's talk about that. Urine, typical color of urine should actually be clear.
Clear, right.
Most persons think it's yellow. Mm-hmm. If your urine color is yellow, that means you're not well hydrated.
You see? Hydration again.
Right? So when you're seeing changes like gray, there may be some sort of frothiness in it. There may be too much sugars in the urine.
Mm.
And that is also causing the change in the color.
Mm-hmm.
It can even cause the change in the aroma of the urine. That's why when we first see patients, we do a urine dipstick. So too much proteins in the urine can change the color. Too much sugars in the urine can change the color. Ketones in the urine can change the color.
Mm.
All in all, get that checked, because that's absolutely not normal.
Mm. Wow. Thank you so much, doctor. Guys, don't forget, you can call me 627-3223 or 625-2257. I'm even taking WhatsApp messages as well to 306-1065. Good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon, Carrie V. After my period ends, I get pain in the lower abdomen and by extension, the anus for some months. Mm-hmm. Well, I never had before and I'm 47 years old. Thank you and keep the positive talks and educating the listeners.
So what you're sharing on there, I'm very concerned. I don't know if you've ever been checked for something called endometriosis.
Mm.
Anyone who's experiencing pain or high levels of pain, abnormal pain, either before the period, after the period, or in different parts of the pelvic cavity, and as you mentioned, in the lower abdomen and the perianal area, may be, especially post-period, that there's something called endometriosis developing. What is endometriosis? It's the retrograde menstruation. So instead of the period coming out of the body, it influxes into different parts of the cavities, and the blood may remain there and cause this irritation, causing and leading to this fibrous tissue. So one, especially around this age as you mentioned, we need you to get that checked by an internal ultrasound by your gynecologist or your ultrasonographer, and then reviewed by the gynecologist. The thing about endometriosis is that it can go from mild to moderate to severe, and the pain can become quite extenuating. So please get that checked out.
Thank you so much, doctor. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
My daughter is 9 years. She had her first period last year, December. So I took her to the clinic and whatever, and I was also advised that I could have it stopped for coping reasons. How healthy is that? Now, she took 2 doses of this, I forget the name of it, but she had no period. She's in the clinic in Moncton. How safe is that, not having the period, having it
stopped? Thanks so much. I'm trying to just, I didn't hear all of what you were saying. I did gather that you said she had a period at 9 years and then she didn't have it, but no, she's in the clinic.
She took her to a clinic, right? And then they told her that it could be stopped. And she wanted to know how safe it is to stop someone's period.
So that's not something I would advise even at 9. So yes, at 9, there's something called precocious puberty, where the period does present earlier than usual. But once a person presents with the period, we do not then stop it. We may put the patient on some sort of hormonal medication to help regulate it, because at 9 years, you will have more cycles released within the entire reproductive time frame. If it's properly managed by a gynecologist, yes, then that hormonal treatment will be safer. But just ensure that it is indeed managed medically, not by just any and anyone. Hope that answers your question.
All right, thank you so much. Hi, guys. Good afternoon. This is the person. This is the 32-year-old paraplegic. Please allow me one more question. Being paralyzed, I am prone to kidney stones. I have had invasive surgery twice on my left kidney to remove stone, and just a couple of weeks ago on my right. As a result, I have lost almost all function on my left kidney, but my right is still fully functional. Doctors are contemplating removing the left, but they have not just yet come to a conclusion. Ever so often, I get infections on the left, so my question is, would the infections or any other medical issue with the left kidney affect the right side?
Very good question. Again, like I said, my heart really goes out because, as we mentioned earlier, paraplegics really have quite debilitating medical conditions, and this is one of them. Now, unfortunately, yes, because your both kidneys are connected, the infection in one can affect the infection on the other side. In light of the fact that one kidney is not fully functional, here's some of the things that I want you to do, or whoever's your caregiver preparing the meals, they can avoid, because these things can amplify the development of kidney stones. We want you to stay as much as possible from processed foods, things like sausages, things like canned foods, tuna, sardines. All of that has different different chemicals in it that can worsen the development of kidney stones. More than ever, we would look for things that say salt-free or sodium-free or very low in salt or sodium to just reduce the load the kidney has on it. In this case, I'm sure you probably are already on medications, but we want you to also And I, as much as possible, and I'm sure you are already avoiding that, avoid things like alcohol and avoid caffeine, because those can definitely worsen the workload on the kidneys. Unfortunately, once the one kidney has an infection, the other kidney is very much at risk. So let's make sure if you're on medication, strong antibiotics, I know it may be strong, please stay consistent with it. And if it doesn't clear, let your healthcare professionals know, because they may need to start another course.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Hi, good afternoon, Doc. Is it okay for a 16-year-old to see her period twice a month?
So that is a little too frequent. Twice a month would be every 14 days. By 16 years, the menstrual cycle should taper off. And when we say taper off, it tends to be every 28 days or 26, 27, 28, up to 31 days. And it may last 3 to 5 days, the cycle itself. Sorry, the bleeding, the active bleeding. So every 14 days for a repeat of the period, that is too frequent. There are concerns that I would want to address. Polycystic ovarian syndrome is one of them. And yes, this is another myth that we need to debunk. Someone I saw as a patient recently, she presented around 32, 33. And when we went in through her history, she realized, but wait, I was having these symptoms since a teenager. But she didn't recognize that it was indeed signs and symptoms of polycystic ovarian syndrome. So at this time, please, if it's a mom who messaged in, take your 16-year-old daughter to a healthcare professional, because there can be medications that we can help regulate it.
Nice. Thank you so much. Let's jump to the phone lines. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
My blessed doctor and my announcer.
Hey, what's up?
Hold on, let me go.
Yeah, take down the parang. What's up?
I just reached when time to get turn away. Berberine.
We did not forget the berberine. Now,
yes. One thing, Doc,
yeah,
is it good for, my neighbor wants to know if it's good for diabetics too, or if it's not good for diabetics.
Thank you so much.
Berberine. Thanks a lot. We listen off air.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
So, while this berberine is this, you know, ever so often we have all these different new fads coming into play, right? Is it useful? Is it a superfood? All these things. So, yes. It is indeed good for diabetics. It is recommended to strengthen the cardiovascular system. And it can, in terms of the diabetics, help lower the sugar in the blood and also play a role in inflammatory conditions. However, here's what I don't want happening, because someone may start using these supplements and stop taking their medication. So if you want to use the berberine, you can use the berberine. In fact, I know it's in an oil, in a tablet, all these different things. But let's make sure we continue using our medications. Some persons I know even use it as a tea. That's all great. They cook with it. It's all okay. But please, if you're using it in any way, please continue to take your medications. Yes, there are quite a number of health benefits for this berberine, and some may not even be familiar with it. It is indeed one that can help reduce the blood sugar levels. Mm-hmm. It can help with weight loss, all these nice things. It's one of these things that they call these superfoods. But please combine it with your normal medical management.
Nice. Thank you so much, Doc. Hi, good afternoon. You're live.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi,
listen, and I'm always impressed with the questions and responses. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I'm also a hysterectomy patient. It's about a month now. I want to ask, I'm no longer on any prescribed medication, but what supplements should I take, seeing that reproductive part in my body has been removed? Is there any exercises that I can do at this point in time? And can I band my belly with any type of compression or girdle? Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
You know, these are such pertinent questions. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much. I really want to thank the caller for asking such granular level. And they will help other persons as well. So 1 month post-hysterectomy is a very crucial time. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with what is necessary to help the healing process. Yes. Please use the girdle. There's even the normal exercise bands. Not that you're going to go into aggressive exercise at this time, but you can use that to give the support. Mm-hmm. It's the same bands that ones may use post-pregnancy or even during the pregnancy. Why? Because the suture or the cut on the belly, while there's that healing process on the outside to do or perform an hysterectomy, it's 7 layers we cut through.
Wow.
From skin to muscle to fat to different visceral layers, then to reach to the reproductive organs.
Right.
So those 7 layers have to heal. So we need to give that time to heal. So the girdle definitely will help, or anything to give that additional support. In terms of exercise, I will recommend gentle exercises. Walking is always a good exercise. You don't want to even be lifting any heavy weights or bending in any way that will put pressure, so you don't want to have increased abdominal pressure around that area. Here's another thing post hysterectomy that no one talks about, and you just mentioned it. You want to ensure proper nutrition, especially with fibers, so that you don't fall prey to constipation. When you have constipation, now you have to have an increased abdominal pressure, and that may worsen even the suture or the healing process.
Wow.
So all of those things, 1 month post hysterectomy is very crucial. Honestly, post-hysterectomy, that will take you at least a 6 to 8 weeks for healing time because of the intensity. That is a serious surgery. I'm glad you went ahead and do it, because it is something that is done for, say, fibroids or if they assist in the body. However, we want to pay attention to the healing process and, of course, your acclimatization. What does that mean? Yes, there are different hormonal medications one may be placed on, but that's guided by your gynecologist. Here's another thing that helps tremendously. There is those lovely decaffeinated teas. We don't want too much caffeine. So the lavender tea, the lemongrass teas that you can have at night, that you want to give your body that time to just enable recovery and rejuvenation. It's crucially important you put that pause. Another thing to all of our mothers out there, our housewives, even the busy professional, post-hysterectomy, say you're doing the wash, you're doing loads. I don't want you bending down inappropriately and picking up the basket. Because all of that puts an abnormal pressure on the suture line or the cut line. And that may cause abnormal healing. 1 month, baby it a little bit. Hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. I have a message here. Good afternoon, doctor. I get pain in my waist most times when I wake up. When I take cod liver oil or olive oil in my meals once a day, it happens often. I'm 66 years old with no other joint pains and is in good health otherwise. Can you assist me?
So I don't think the pain is directly related to the cod liver oil or the olive oil. Cod liver oil and olive oil tends to be an anti-inflammatory, so I don't believe it's related. The pain is related to those things. I definitely think you want to check your sleep hygiene. Sometimes we really sleep in abnormal positions and then wake up with what they say stiff joints. First thing in the morning, I want you to do gentle stretches. As simple as touching your toes. As simple as taking your hands and pressing them towards, pulling them towards the back. Stretching them. You remember those exercises you're doing in the school?
Yeah.
Hands up, hands out. Just stretching the entire body a little bit, at least 5 to 10 minutes, will enable what we say, that fluid through the joints to move. So that will help ease that pain.
I have another question here. My girlfriend had a miscarriage a month ago and she is still bleeding. How long would this bleeding last for? She took Cytotec?
Cytotec.
side.
Right, so let's not mention the medication because that's not a medication that doctors prescribe. Oh. That is a medication that is unfortunately, as they say, purchased in black market.
Oh.
So one, I'm so sorry that this is what's happening to your girlfriend. That medication, I do hope that they post the miscarriage, there's something called a DNC, a dilatation and curettage. The fact that 1 month after she's still bleeding means there may be still products. It may be an incomplete miscarriage because that medication is one that is probably just bought over the counter. It's unfortunately it produces an incomplete miscarriage. Even if it was prescribed, in this case a DNC, a dilatation and curettage, is needed to completely ensure all products are removed. What's also important